Amen. Thank you, Duane. Appropriate. Holy Spirit doesn't work in a vacuum. Let us pray. Most gracious Lord, speak to us today. And I pray, Lord, that we might listen. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1 Samuel 3:10, we have a verse from a story in the Bible. And it says, "And the Lord came and stood calling as at other times." Because you see, God never stops calling. "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." My subject is listening to God. I don't know if you've noticed, but people are terrible listeners. We live in an age where we just don't like to listen. A political age where we don't like to listen. We just want to talk. Often people don't listen to hear. We listen to respond. We're already thinking about what we want to say while the other person is talking. But friends, there's a reason why God gave you one mouth and two ears. You see, you should always do twice as much listening as you do talking. And I'm stepping on my own toes today. I'm a preacher, man, and you know how I like to talk. In recovery, we had a saying, "Take the cotton out of your ears and stick it in your mouth." My subject, listening to God. You see, some of our biggest problems in our lives and in the world are due to not listening to God. Some of our biggest financial problems are due to not listening to God. Marital problems, not listening to God. World problems, not listening to God. Health problems, you name it. In 1 Samuel 3:1, it says that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Mercy, does that sound familiar? Hearing the word of the Lord today, it's rare in these days. Amos 8:11 said, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." And friends, it isn't that God isn't talking, it's that we're not listening. And just like with Samuel, God is constantly calling, constantly calling. 2 Timothy tells us, "For time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but they will have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." You see, this is why it's dangerous to only do worshiping on a TV or online. It's this reason right here. You see, we all have our favorite preachers and teachers and people whose their worldview aligns with our worldview. But you see, if we only listen to people who agree with us, then we're not hearing what God says. Martin Luther once said that there is a great difference between God's word and the word of man. A man's word is a little sound that flies into the air and soon vanishes, but the word of God is greater than heaven and earth, yea, greater than death and hell, for it forms part of the power of God and it endures everlastingly. You see, if we say, "Let there be light," we've got to hit a switch. If God says, "Let there be light," light appears. If God just thinks of a tree appears. Now Isaiah 55:11 says, "My word goes out from my mouth," and notice, "it will not return to me empty, ever." Why? Because God's word is reality. Okay, Chad, you know, follow me with this. God's word is reality. And that's why when we don't listen to God, our health starts to break down. Our relationships start to break down. Our joy will begin to break down. Our world begins to break down. It's like stepping off of a roof because you don't think the law of gravity should apply to you. God's word is not just theology. That's us trying to understand his word. That's not just philosophy. God's word is realer than the law of gravity. And sadly, when we don't listen to God, because of whatever reason, we make void the power of God's word in our life. Making void the word of God by your tradition. Often we use this text only to kind of illustrate something about the Sabbath, and that's good. It's relevant there. But Jesus is not just talking about that. You see, there's plenty of traditions you have in your life right now, Adventists, that are making void the word of God in your life. You see, some of us make void the word of God because of prejudices that we've had it down to us. We're ignoring what God is saying because we were raised to think of certain people less than. Some of us make void the word of God because of bad habits that we've had it handed down to us. Whether it's nurture or nature, we've got habits, and so we can make void the word of God. Some of us are making void the word of God because of excuses that we've handed down and down. And the same excuses we're giving God, our kids will give God, and our kids' kids will give God. We're not listening to God. The Bible says the word of the Lord was rare in those days. This word rare in Hebrew, interestingly, also means treasure. Friends, I hope you know the greatest treasure that we have on earth is this right here. I should have heard a little few more Advent. I thought we were the people of the book. We're the people of the book. When I hold up the Bible and say this is the greatest treasure, you shout, amen. Amen. It's a rare treasure. You know, God's word is our greatest treasure. You know why? Well, because according to Proverbs 35, every word of God proves true. Now, you can't say that about anyone or anything else in the world. You see, the pastor's word doesn't always prove true unless it comes from this word. You know, your doctor's word doesn't always prove true. Even your spouse's word doesn't always prove true. Your parents' word doesn't always prove true. The politician's word, man, that rarely proves true. Give me a break. They'll promise you the world and won't deliver none of it. But Proverbs says that every word of God proves true. He is a shield, notice, to those who take refuge in him. He is a shield to people who listen. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. You want to live longer? Listen better. You want your marriage to improve? Listen better. You want your finances to get better? Listen better. You want your health to get better? Be a better listener. It doesn't mean you don't have problems. You live in a broken world. You're going to have problems. But I promise you, the more you listen to this, the better, more fulfilling, happier life you will experience. Even when all the world is falling apart, you can still have an inner joy that is like none other. You want your health to get better. Be a better listener. 90% of type 2 diabetes, 90%. 80% of coronary artery disease, 70% of strokes, 70% of certain cancers are all preventable. You want to know how? Listening to God. Listening to God. Just listening to what he says. Now, God's word isn't always what we want to hear, but it's always what we need to hear. Amen? It's not always what we want to hear, but it's what we need to hear. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living, it's active, it's sharper than a two-edged piercing to the division of the soul and the spirits of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." My goodness, that sounds painful. And that's why sometimes we don't like listening to God. Let's be honest. Have you ever read a text and you thought, man, I wish I didn't read that? Ignorance is bliss, right? This is why we don't like listening to God, because listening to God will cut into your agenda. Listening to God will cut into your politics. Listening to God will slice up your life. And if it isn't slicing you up, if you didn't come to church with a few slice marks, some cuts from the Bible cut you up this last week, then you're not listening to God. If this book hasn't cut you before, and if you're only listening to the parts you like, then you're not listening to God. 1 Samuel 3:3 says that the lamp of God had not yet gone out yet, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of the God, of God was. Now this lamp, he's there laying in the temple. The lamp was the seven-branch menorah. And according to Exodus 27, this lamp was meant to burn continuously. It was meant to burn continuously because when you study Revelation, you find out that the seven-branch candlestick really represents the church. You need to know something right now. No matter how dark things get in this world, the lamp of God has not and will not go out. The church will stand. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. No matter how rough things look, from the bedroom to the boardroom, from the crack house to the White House, we have a light that will never go out. We're supposed to burn this light continuously. The light of the church doesn't close down. The light of the church burns and burns and burns until Jesus comes. Now, when God speaks to Samuel, Samuel doesn't yet know that it's God speaking. In my previous church, I had a friend who would always come up to me after the service and say, "Pastor, that was a really good sermon. Those people really needed that. Those people really needed that." It's easy to say amen when God steps on the toes of our neighbors, but our loudest amen should be reserved for when God steps on our toes. You see, I need to come to church for no other reason to listen to what God is saying to me. And what God is saying to me may be different than what God is saying to you. I may not be where you are. You may not be where I am in my journey. I didn't come here to hear God's word for you. I came here to hear God's word for me. You know, sometimes we think that, oh, that's just the pastor, or that's just this person. You know, that's just the priest. You see, Eli wasn't calling Samuel. God was. You need to know that God called you here today. Not the preacher, not the parent, not the person. It is God that is speaking to you right now. According to 1 Samuel 3:7, the reason Samuel didn't know who was calling him was because he did not yet know the Lord. Check this out. And the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. You see, there was a time in your life when the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to you. You know, you didn't know the Sabbath was the seventh day. You know, you didn't know that shrimp is unclean. You didn't know that tithe is 10%, not 2%. Maybe there was a time that you didn't know that when God said, love your enemies, that means everyone, especially the people you don't like. Maybe there was a time that you didn't know that God commands the church to stand up for justice, to provide for the widow, to provide for the broken, to provide for the poor. And the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. There may have been a time you didn't know it was God speaking. You thought it was me speaking. You thought it was the indigestion speaking. That was God speaking. Amen. 1 Samuel 3:21, the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel. How? Through his word. How is God revealed to us? through his word. 2 Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. You see, God's plan for Samuel was for Samuel to be his priest. It says, I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and mind. God wants you to do what is in his heart and mind, not what is in your heart and your mind, but what is in God's heart and mind. God wanted to raise Samuel up to be his priest. Did you know that that was God's plan for all of Israel? Israel was called, check it out, you shall be to me a kingdom of what? And a holy nation. Did you know that that is still God's plan for his church? Revelation, he has made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. The priesthood of all believers. We are all a part of the priesthood, but you can only be in his priesthood if you're willing to listen. You see, the reason God had to raise up Samuel was because according to 1 Samuel 2:12, the sons of Eli were scoundrels who had no respect for the Lord. They didn't listen to God. Now, you can only be a priest if you're willing to listen to God. And sadly, even Eli couldn't be used anymore. Why? Well, because he stopped listening to God. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God and he did nothing. He tells Eli, you give your sons more honor than you give me. I wonder, what are you giving more honor than God today? What is on the pedestal of your heart? If it's anything other than God, friends, it's not going to last. You see, friends, it is dangerous to keep ignoring God. No one likes to be ignored. But notice what it says about Samuel. This is what Samuel says when God starts calling. Speak, for your servant hears. That should be what we all do when God starts talking, amen? Now, this word hear doesn't just mean auditory hearing. It actually, when the Bible talks about hear, it's talking about obeying. Because you see, until you obey God, you're really not hearing God. In fact, centuries later, God's priesthood is still having a listening problem, and Jesus makes this profound statement. He says, you got ears, but you cannot hear. And what's interesting about this is that the chapter right before this, Jesus heals a deaf person. Check it out. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hands on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, be open. In the very next chapter, Jesus tells the church, you got ears, but you can't hear. The Holy Spirit puts these two scenes next to each other on purpose. He's setting us up. He's saying healing problems aren't a problem for Jesus. So if you're not doing what he's telling you to do, it's because you don't want to. What can God do with the people whose ears work, but they don't really listen? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And can you not remember? Jesus is talking to people whose ears work fine, but their brains aren't responding appropriately. You see, this is why parents, you can all relate to this, parents. This is why parents have to ask their children, did you hear what I said? Amen? You know, did you hear what I said? No, really, did you hear? You see, parents need proof of hearing. And we know, as parents, proof of hearing isn't the nodding of heads, it's the moving of legs. Real listening isn't shouting amen, although don't get me wrong, your pastor loves them. It's amens in action. It's living out the word. You see, the reason we don't listen is not because we have a hearing problem. Friends, we've got a heart problem. our hearing problems, our heart problems. This is throughout Scripture talking to his people. Hear this, O foolish and senseless people, who have eyes but see not, who have ears but hear not. Ezekiel 12:2, Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house. It's a heart problem. Who have eyes to see but see not, who have ears to hear but hear not, for they are a rebellious house. It's a heart problem. Acts 28:27 says, this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear. Their eyes they've closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, repent, and I would heal them. And what's really interesting about this is between the healing miracle of this deaf individual and Jesus saying, look, you got ears, but you can't hear, Jesus provides a miracle meal for 5,000 people. We have that feeding of the 5,000. So they ate and they were filled and they took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. Check it out. They're stuffed. They have enough. They've just seen God heal a deaf man. God has just provided for them. They've got enough leftovers to last them for the next weeks. But in verse 11, notice what these Pharisees do. The Pharisees came and began to argue, notice this, argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. So get this. While they're still chewing miracle food, I imagine, you know, just picking their teeth with a toothpick. Hey, Jesus, can you give us a sign that you are from heaven? Notice what it says in Mark 8:12, and he sighed deeply in his spirit. It's a word that means to audibly groan. Friends, Jesus has just taken a few fish and bread and he's broken them down to the molecular level and he's multiplied it. And while they're still swallowing it, they ask for a sign. And so Jesus responds, truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. In other words, no more miracle fish sandwiches for you, because I just did it and you still didn't get it. I am the living embodiment of the word and you didn't. I was God's word and you still didn't get it. Are you listening, friends? What God is trying to tell you today. How many times has God provided for you? God's telling some people here today, I just performed a miracle in your life. I just kept you safe this last week. I just healed your body. I just made ends meet. I just got you a job. I just paid your rent. I just saved your marriage. No more signs for you. No more miracles, because the ones that I've done have not changed you. You still can't make it to worship with me. You still don't trust me with your with my tithe. You still won't spend the Sabbath with me. You still won't step out and commit to the church when I stepped out and committed to you on the cross. You're still complaining about that person, about that pastor. You still can't share your faith. No more miracle fish sandwiches for you. And it's funny, because you would think the disciples would get it, but they don't get it either. Notice. And aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you, see, they thought Jesus was upset about the bread. Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember, our problem is not our hearing. Our problem is our heart. Interestingly, the Hebrew word, check this out. I may have missed it here. Let me see. I didn't get it up here, but check this out. The Hebrew word for heart is labab. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, if I can get it up here, there we go. We're getting there. There we go. This is the word, labab, and that's the word for heart. So in Deuteronomy 6:5, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your labab, and with all your soul, and with all of your might. If you spell the word heart backwards, friends, it spells Babel. It spells Babel. You see, Babylon's love is backwards. God's love is always other-focused. Babel's love is always selfish and self-focused. And that's why the three angels' messages come out of Babylon. Come out of the broken ways of this world. Come out. You see, Babylon's love is backwards. And friends, the calling for the three angels' message is you got to come out of Babylon because Babylon is broken. The question is, are you listening to God today? You see, God wants to turn us into a kingdom of priests, but we've got to be willing to listen. You see, the moment Samuel started listening to God was the moment God could start using Samuel. The Bible says that the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Now, it doesn't say he revealed his ethics. It doesn't say God revealed his doctrines. It doesn't say that God revealed his theology or religion. It says God revealed himself. You see, this isn't just some book of rules or miscellaneous religious dogma. It is a story that reveals the God that loves you. And if you want to get to know God, friends, you got to listen to him. Jesus is in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word. He is the ultimate revelation of who God is and what this book is about. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Jesus listened to the Word. He quoted the Word. He lived the Word. Because you see, Jesus was the Word. When the enemy tempted him in the wilderness with his stomach, Jesus fought back with the Word. When the enemy tempted him with fear, he fought him back with the Word of God. He listened to God. When the enemy tried to tempt him with popularity and prestige and power, he listened to God instead. In Gethsemane, he listened, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, your will be done." At his kangaroo court hearing, he listened. Don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us and he would send them instantly? But if I did, how would the scriptures be fulfilled that describe what must happen now? On the way to the cross, Jesus listened to God. On the way, when he's on the cross, Jesus is quoting scripture and listening to God. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus died with the Word of God on his lips. He died with the Word of God in his heart because he was the embodiment of the Word. And I am so glad that even though we have a listening problem, God is nothing like us. Because when he hears something, he does something. Check this out. "Oh, he will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry." As soon as he hears it, hallelujah, friends, he answers it. You see, that's the difference between us and God. As soon as he heard it, he answered it. Before you prayed it, he had it all prepared. Hallelujah. Heaven not only hears, it listens. Heaven put salvation into action. Heaven put love into motion. When the world did its worst, God gave its best. The Bible says, "And Samuel grew," and check this out, "and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words," check this out, "fall to the ground." This expression is a Hebrew expression that means letting nothing fail or fall flat. I promise, if you would begin listening to God, you will never fall flat either. You may fall sometimes, but you're not going to fall and stay down. You see, friends, I got good news. Pain does not plague Jesus. The economy does not faze him. Weather does not disturb him. Elections do not define him. Diseases do not infect him. Death cannot stop him. So listen to him and ignore everything else. You see, we need to be like Samuel. When God speaks, we need to say, "Speak, for your servant hears." In our relationship, "Speak, for your servant hears." With our job opportunity, "Lord, speak, for your servant hears." Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. You see, friends, if you listen to God, you'll never fall flat. So who cares if your family laughs at you? Who cares if your coworkers look down on you? Who cares if heaven is adoring you? Because friends, your family will pass away. The career will pass away. Youth and good looks will pass away. Presidents and politicians will pass away. Money will pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. But my words will not pass away. And if God's word is in you, even if you pass away, hallelujah, it isn't permanent. None of his words fell to the ground. The word for fall means to rot or to fall to pieces. You see, there is no expiration date on the promises of God. There is no expiration date on Acts 2:21. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no expiration date on John 1:12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So regardless of what you did yesterday, if you can listen to what Jesus is saying today, then you can become a child of God. You can become a priest like Samuel. And the good news, the Bible says, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. And those who hear will live. You see, friends, if you listen to him in life, you will listen to him in death. And when he says, get up, I'm getting up. Start listening to God right now. Most gracious God, we thank you and we praise you for the awesome God that you are. We can do nothing but through Christ who strengthens us. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that we would repent. We have not been listening to you. None of us have. Because if we had been listening to you, we'd be in heaven already. We would have finished the work 100 years ago. Lord, this sinner right here is repenting for the times I didn't listen to you, when I listened to the popular opinion rather than listening to your unpopular wisdom. For the times I did not listen to you and your love for the lost, and I listened to my pride instead, Lord. Forgive this sinner. And I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that whatever you're saying to each person here, because it's different, that we would begin to ask, Lord, help me listen better. Help us to see that listening is not the nodding of heads and it's not the shouting of amens. Listening is the moving of legs. Lord, help us to see today that the only way to make it through this broken word, that the enemy's going to be coming in like a flood and he's going to be doing to deceive, if possible, the very elect. If we're not in tuned to you, if we're not listening to you, we're going to be lost. Help us listen today. Help us listen today, I pray. We can't. You can. We're going to let you do it in our lives. We thank you. We praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.